are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on this Tuesday mailbag episode. Gonna dig into the mailbag, talk about everything under the sun that you guys want to talk about, because after all, this is really your show as much as it is mine, right? Programming notes coming up in the week. Tomorrow, instead of being a winky Wednesday, Nick Winkler's actually going to join me on Thursday because he's coming back from vacation just as I leave from vacation. We're going to high-five on Highway 50 as we pass each other on our way to and from Lake Tahoe at the end of the week. But Nick Winkler is going to join me on Thursday instead of Wednesday. And tomorrow now, Jeff Deeney, the 49ers media correspondent for Pro Football Focus, will be joining me on the show. Everybody arriving in Mobile, Alabama on Monday for the Senior Bowl. 49ers coaching staff will be there. It's getting into the exciting part of the scouting season, the nitty-gritty of NFL draft season. So for those teams that are not still in it, only two remain, obviously. So anybody a fan of any team other than the Patriots and the Rams ought to be getting pretty excited about the Senior Bowl, especially when your favorite team's coaching staff is coaching one of the squads, as the 49ers are the South squad. And Tuesday is going to be a big day because that's weigh-in day. And so we'll get some proper measurements for a lot of players. And sometimes those are wildly off from what a player was listed at in their college bios. So we will definitely be diving into every angle and looking at all the reports. And I'll be watching the practices at the Senior Bowl and talking about the weigh-ins and measurements and all the news that comes out of Mobile, Alabama this week. And I'm sure a lot of that information will also spill into next week and continue on. And then there's the combine in February, and free agency will open in March. So it's never ending here in the NFL offseason. Let's dip into this mailbag, shall we? Speaking of the Senior Bowl, let's start with Hindenburg 49ers, who says we need to chat about Allen removing himself from the Senior Bowl, basically blowing off a potential golden interview opportunity with the coaching staff with a huge edge need. What's your take on his decision? So Hindenburg talking about Josh Allen, University of Kentucky edge rusher that has been being mocked to the 49ers at two and in the top 10 quite often on these early mock drafts coming out in January. And he was originally scheduled to go to the Senior Bowl. He had accepted his invite to go and last minute pulled out, decided not to go to Mobile, Alabama. So he will not be there and he will not be getting coached by the 49ers coaching staff. And I thought that might have been Hindenburg 49ers says here, might have been a golden opportunity for him to ingratiate himself to the 49ers coaching staff. There's the chance for them to fall in love with some players in Mobile, Alabama. And it's pretty common to draft players that you coach. I believe it was Matt Barrows who wrote an article recently at The Athletic breaking down who the 49ers have drafted over the years from teams they coached at the Senior Bowl. And it's about an average of three guys per draft class when they do coach the Senior Bowl of players that they draft. And sometimes they pluck somebody off the opposite squad they didn't even coach. But if you remember in 2007, that was a big one. Two first-round picks, Joe Staley and Patrick Willis, were both at the Senior Bowl. Both were drafted by the 49ers and have been two of the best draft picks that the 49ers have ever had. So a lot of players have come out of the Senior Bowl and ended up being 49ers and other teams too. Yeah, here it is. Here's the list. 2006, 49ers coached it back-to-back and back-to-back-to-back, 2006, 2007, 2008. In 2006, they drafted Manny Lawson in the first round, Michael Robinson in the fourth, who was on the North squad and not their South squad. It's been the South every time for the 49ers in recent history. Paris Harrelson in the fifth round and Marcus Hudson. So four players they drafted in 2006 that they coached at the Senior Bowl. In 2007, it was Patrick Willis and Joe Staley in the first round, then Jay Moore in the fourth round from the North squad. And then in 2008, Kentwan Bulmer, who was a bust of a pick in the first round, and Cody Wallace, the center, who didn't do much for the 49ers in the fourth round. So hit or miss, but Patrick Willis and Joe Staley were massive hits for the 49ers. And yeah, it's an average of about three players, and a couple of those looks like one in each year being from the opposite team's squad. So averaging three, Two from the south, one from the north. So if going by averages, the 49ers are going to come away with two guys that they coached and one guy that the Raiders are coaching. And as noted by Barrows here in this article, even beyond the 49ers, last year the Broncos and Texans coached the Senior Bowl. Denver ended up taking three players off its roster, and Houston selected one. I think one of the biggest advantages is you get to know the guys, and it takes some of the guesswork out of knowing the human being. And actually, the interesting one to me is Kentwan Bulmer, because I remember that year, I remember the reports out of Mobile in 2008. Kentwan Bulmer was dominating guys in one-on-ones for like the first day or two, and then he got hurt. Or it might have been even just the first day, the one practice. And then he got hurt, and then he was out for the rest. And so he didn't work out much before the draft. And the 49ers saw that one workout and saw him dominate people, and they still went ahead and took him and then ended up being. And again, remember, they didn't coach him. He was on the opposite team's squad. And so he just didn't have the desire. He was kind of a blah player for the 49ers. So you can definitely over-evaluate, I think, and that might be a situation where if everything else doesn't match up and the guy doesn't have the desire, doesn't have the work ethic and the drive, and maybe has so-so tape, but he has a good week, you don't want to over-evaluate. So you want to have most of your work done. Use the Senior Bowl to really get a firm grip on what these players look like, how they're built, how they're put together, what their legitimate height and weights are. See how players play against each other on an equal playing field. You don't want to over-evaluate them on one-on-ones and with, offensive linemen who haven't played next to each other and cornerbacks who haven't played with the safeties that are playing behind them and wide receivers and quarterbacks not having a rapport together. And you hope that grows over the week. And I think there's a ton you can learn, but you don't want to overemphasize this one week. That being said, back to the original question, Josh Allen missing. I think for me, if I'm putting myself and putting my GM hat on, which I like to do here on the show, and I would have really liked to see him be on my team and have a chance to coach him and be with him for a week and see how he works, see how he interacts with teammates. I think that's a huge part of it. And see how he takes to coaching, see how his technique develops through the week, because I think he does need to work on his technique in the next level and vary some of his pass rush moves and see if he can start putting some of these things on the field that you try to teach him over the course of a week and see if he gets a little bit better. And I think the number one thing with Josh Allen is how big is he actually? Because he's listed at 6'5", 260. And I know just from watching him play, he's not that big. Cleveland Farrell's also listed exactly at 6'5", 260. And those two guys aren't built anything alike. There's something that doesn't add up there with those listed heights and weights, right? So it'll be interesting to see how big he actually is at the combine. And that might be part of why he didn't want to show up, is because he's got a plan. And not only does he not want to get hurt, because he's already getting mocked in the top 10, and I'm sure he's got an agent in his ear, so I understand that part of the decision. And if he only falls from pick 2 to pick 3 or pick 4 because he didn't go and the 49ers don't fall in love with him, then it's not a big deal, right? Because he skated through and didn't have any injuries or anything like that. But I think the thing he's probably trying to do is he probably doesn't want to step on a scale yet, because he's probably trying to put on weight and prove that he can be an NFL edge guy and maybe be a defensive end, because those are the guys that get paid the most. So that's, there's a lot of reasons why he didn't show up. I think for him, it's probably the right move, just based on him getting projected so high already. There's a lot more to lose than to gain. But if you're the 49ers, you might be a little disappointed. And if you are Josh Allen, maybe that was the only path to going as high as, say, pick 1 or 2 is going and checking off one more box, which would have been the Senior Bowl. But I understand if I was his agent, I would have probably advised him not to go just because of the pure injury factor. All right, quick break here. It looks like we've got some draft stuff, some free agent stuff coming up on the Locked On 49ers mailbag. Okay, let's get into this with St. Griff on Twitter. He says, how's baby Leo doing? A little hot tip for you guys. If you want to get up first in the mailbag, just ask about my son. Got a soft spot there, obviously. How's baby Leo doing? He's doing fantastic. Flipping around. He's kind of scooting, not quite crawling yet, and he's going to start to be a handful pretty soon when he gets mobile, and that's going to be very interesting in our smallish San Francisco apartment. But he's been awesome, having a fun time being a dad. Aside from the dad bod that is like advancing very quickly, I need to take some quick action. I talked about this a little bit on Twitter the other day, and it's like, wow, okay, I got to get the diet and the exercise routine figured out here with also being a dad and doing the podcast and working a real job besides that. I got to figure this out because my waistline is going to start paying the price here. And I want to be able to, when I do go to the gym, at least run up and down the basketball court three times without falling over. So that's something I got to figure out real quick. So any dads out there that have advice, I'm all for it. So feel free to hit me up there at BD Peacock on Twitter, by the way. If you ever want to get involved in one of these mailbags or find me, that's the best place to do it, at BD Peacock on Twitter, or email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. So Griff's question here is, what's more important, pass rush or pass coverage? Bosa looked helpless against TB12, but on the other hand, Bears made the playoffs with the addition of Mac. I mean, it's a good question. It's a chicken or the egg thing, and everything revolves around the quarterback right now in the NFL, and increasingly so. You get your quarterback in place, you got to protect him. So offensive linemen, offensive tackles especially, are very important. And then pass rushers are important because you want to affect the quarterback. And when you can't get to the quarterback, you need people to cover behind you or cover a little bit longer so you can get to the quarterback. But those coverage guys need you to get to the quarterback quickly so they don't have to cover as long. So it all works together. If I had to list the importance, I would probably put pass rush over coverage just because I think you can affect quarterback before he throws it. It's going to create more problems, more turnovers, make things easier on everybody else. If you have no pass rush, even really good corners can't cover forever, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to just hang with guys just because of the rules and cover guys and not get flagged and stuff. So I would rather end the play early than ask guys to cover all day. But I'm greedy too, so I want all of it. I want a stud receiver. I want a great, you know, running game. I want offensive line. I want a quarterback. I want defensive backs. I want linebackers. I want to stop the run, obviously. I want to do all of it. So I'm kind of greedy in that way. But if I had to list it, it'd go quarterback, pass rush, then probably offensive tackle, cornerback. But those last three are pretty close. But I think there's a big gap after those positions, right? Quarterback, big gap. Then there's a group of pass rush, corners, offensive tackles that I think are the next core group. And you got to have those things right now. And the 49ers have half of that, really. They still need to figure out what's going on at corner. And obviously pass rush is huge. And we saw that this year. And it was massive. It was a big, big, big need for the 49ers that they did not hit. But you're right about TB12. Tom Brady is one of the best at getting the ball out, just maneuvering the pocket. He's not a high-level athlete. He can't run. I mean, he looks like a goon when he runs. But he can slide in the pocket. He feels it. He gets the ball out on time. And it really helps because stud pass rushers that the Chargers had didn't get to him. The stud pass rushers that the Chiefs had, zero sacks, didn't get to him. So it's important. Protect your quarterback. And if you have a good quarterback, he helps a lot of that out as well by getting the ball out on time and running the offense efficiently. Let's go to Phil. He said, who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? That's a tough one. I think this is a really bad spot for the 49ers to be in. It's hard to root for the Rams. It's hard to root for the Patriots right now. So my answer is I'm just rooting for a good game. I hope it's another game similar to what we saw in those championship games. Those were a lot of fun. Overtime thrillers. I'm all for that. And in the end, I think we all lose here. Let's see. To Jay, who's got a free agent question, and there's a couple that had a lot of similar names, so I'll get to Jay's question here, and it'll probably answer multiple questions, but he says, hey, bro, what do you think about free agent targets? Number one, C.J. Mosley. Number two, Ziggy Ansah or Frank Clark or D. Ford. And three, Anthony Barr, Clay Matthews as Sam. Okay, let's start with number one, C.J. Mosley. Looks like he's probably going to be the best true inside linebacker that's going to hit the market, and well, first of all, half of it is, does the guy even want to come play for your team? So cursory interest is fine, and then if he wants to go play somewhere else, and you're not going to, I'm not going to overpay for most of the names you mentioned anyways. Maybe D. Ford, but C.J. Mosley, yeah, he'd be a great fit. You know, he's a veteran, good inside linebacker. If he wants to come and the numbers make sense, I would be all about bringing in C.J. Mosley and having a veteran linebacker to pair with the young stud linebacker in Fred Warner. When it comes to pass rush here, your number twos of Ziggy Ansah, Frank Clark, and D. Ford. Frank Clark, I think you can cross off the list, and I think physically the type of player he is, and he's played in Seattle's scheme, I think all of that fits, and I think he might end up being one of the better free agent edges that makes the free agent market. although, you know, I think Seattle's going to do their part to try to keep him. But Frank Clark has some stuff in his past, domestic violence and some things, and there's a reason he dropped a little bit in the draft, even though he was a pretty good, he was a first-round talent, and he fell out of the first round, and there was a lot of stuff on him, and a lot of people thought he might even fall further. And maybe he's turned things around, but I just don't – I think there's zero chance the 49ers mess with anybody that has anything like that going on in their past. Ziggy Ansah, he's got that connection to Martin Mayhew from the Lions days and now the Lions defensive line coach who coached him there for a while. And he doesn't inspire a lot with me. Dee Ford, the third name you mentioned, I would definitely go for, just a little bit younger, doesn't have the injury history that Ziggy Ansah has and just has a little bit more juice off the edge as a pass rusher. But, you know, these guys still got to make it to the free agent market. And I think of those names, Ziggy Ansah is the only guy who's nearly a lock who actually will most likely get there. He got the franchise tag last year. They're not going to tag him again. So if he's the best on the market, maybe he gets overpaid. I'm not into overpaying him. And that comes back to where the 49ers are at in the draft. And picking second instead of picking first is huge, because if the 49ers knew they were picking number one and they did those evaluations before free agency opened, they knew, okay, Nick Bosa is our guy, perfect fit, then you don't have to overpay for a Leo-type defensive end edge rusher, because you know you're going to draft the guy that you expect to hit the ground running and be a good player week one, year one, which is rare, and it's not the case usually for draft picks. Even if they're picked high, it usually takes some time, but you would expect to pencil him in, and then you wouldn't have to feel obligated to overpay for any of these players. And then you can just go into the draft. You could see if anybody makes sense financially and bring some guys in to compete and complete your pass rush, because I think they need multiple edge guys. But you wouldn't have to overpay for anybody because you knew you had your guy in the draft sitting there at one. But now where the 49ers are at, they can't bank on that. Even just picking two, there's still a very good chance that Nick Bosa goes number one to the Cardinals. And so they have to go through free agency thinking that that's not going to get fixed with the first pick that they have in the draft. So it makes things a little bit more difficult. So, and I would add another name to that. And this is another name that's been dropped by some people in the mailbag here, Brandon Graham from Philadelphia. And he belongs in that group. I might have Brandon Graham over Ziggy Ansah, just because he's a little bit more consistent. But, you know, he's 30, 31. I would really like a little bit more juice, younger legs. And ultimately, I think it's a position you have to fix in the draft. And there's a lot of good players in the draft, a lot of good edge rushers. So do you just bypass that in free agency, stick to your guns, not overpay, and hope you hit on that guy in the draft, or hope you hit on one of the couple of guys you draft? Yeah, that's going to be dicey. That's going to be a very interesting question to answer as we go through this offseason. And a big key to that is actually seeing who hits the market. In part three, the Sam linebackers from Jay's question, Anthony Barr or Clay Matthews. I like Anthony Barr. In fact, he would be one of my first targets, I think, for the 49ers, especially if they don't think they're going to draft a Sam linebacker in the first round. And my Josh Allen comp was Anthony Barr. So, are you getting 90% of Josh Allen if you just sign Anthony Barr in free agency and you take the guesswork out of a prospect potentially busting? Barr had a similar profile coming out. He was 6'5", 250 pounds. He was even more of a physical freak, I think, than Josh Allen was, just as far as height, weight, speed goes. Long arms, ran a 4.6 at that size, and he had 23 sacks his last 2 years at UCLA. He's super athletic. I know the 49ers have targeted, whether it's free agency or the draft, they really like high-end athletes. They've drafted guys that meet that speed factor, right? And a quickness or speed factor, especially on the defensive side of the ball, everyone's been height, weight, speed, just true workout athletes as well as just playing fast on the field. So I think Anthony Barr really fits what they want, an early down sandbacker. And I think that he's got so much more pass rush that was underutilized in Minnesota. And if he plays more of that edge position, plays a little bit more like a 3-4 outside linebacker instead of the true outside linebacker like he played for the Vikings, I think there's a little bit more there. And then you only have to pay him like a linebacker. You don't have to pay him like one of these defensive ends that's coming out, and they might give you just as much production as somebody like, say, Ziggy Ansah does. So I like Anthony Barr. He's just a younger player than Clay Matthews. This is why I would choose Barr over Matthews. Okay, let's step aside here for a quick break, and then more Locked On 49ers mailbag. To Mark on Twitter, he says, assuming you've watched Bird Box by now. Thoughts? No, I have not watched Bird Box yet. Sorry, man. I'm too busy. I haven't gotten to those. And actually, being a member of SAG-AFTRA, I got some SAG screeners. So there's a bunch of movies for me to watch that I can vote for the SAG Awards. And so I haven't gotten through those yet. And there's a ton of them to get to as well. And so Bird Box is it's on the queue, but it's a little bit down the list right now. Maybe I'll get to that sometime later in draft season, maybe even after the draft. I don't know. I'm so busy now. It's really rare that I just have 2 hours I can just throw on a movie. But yeah, it's on the queue, and I'll get to it, at least in pieces at some point. Let's go to the emails with Anthony. He says, free safety is a subject of need. Who other than Earl Thomas is compatible with Saleh's system? So he lists a few free agent safeties here. Adrian Amos, LaMarcus Joyner, Adrian Phillips, Clinton Dix, Mike Adams, Landon Collins, and Tyrann Mathieu. Of those players, I would say Clinton Dix and Tyrann Mathieu, I think rangy sort of free safeties that could play a little of the single high system. I think those guys would make sense. There's a lot of strong safeties on this list. And I just think with Tart and now Marcel Harris, I think the 49ers are going to be okay at strong safety and wouldn't really go spend money there. Especially, yeah, Landon Collins, Mike Adams is old, Adrian Phillips, Adrian Amos, both strong safety types. LaMarcus Joyner, I liked a lot coming out of college. He's still more of a hybrid, sort of a slot corner slash safety. I like him a little bit more close to the line of scrimmage than as a single high guy, although he could definitely do it too. But he'd probably be third on my list. Honey Badger's not quite the same player as he used to be either. And to be honest with you, if Earl Thomas doesn't want to join the 49ers and they can't talk him into or pay him enough money to get him to come to San Francisco, I might say you go to the draft with that need. Hope somebody like Deontay Thompson or Nasir Adderley are there at the top of the second round. But, you know, you might not have that luxury of just waiting to the draft to draft everybody. You got to really slam the door on some needs. So who of these guys is definitely a better NFL safety that's going to start over Adrian Colbert? I would probably lean toward either Joyner, Clinton Dix, or Tyrann Mathieu, just because those are the free safety types on that list. But when you look at the names and you look at what the 49ers need and the fit and everything, it's just like you got to throw what money it takes at Earl Thomas. If it's money, make it happen. We got a draft question here from Marion on Twitter. Do we draft Quinnen Williams, not re-sign Armstead, and sell Thomas to the lowest bidder? We have Taylor and Streets returning for depth. It's so tough to fit in someone like Quinnen Williams, which is obviously why a lot of hand-wringing right now is happening with 49ers fans, and anytime I bring up the name Quinnen Williams, they're like, no, he's not an edge guy. He's not what you need, and I totally get it. He's not. Ideally, the 49ers either draft Nick Bosa at the top or are able to trade down and get into that pack where they can draft one of the other edge guys that I think there's a big gap behind Nick Bosa. But Quinnen Williams would be the number two best player in the draft if he was there, and some people might see him as the number one best player in the draft. Maybe the Cardinals do. It's so tough to fit him in, like you mentioned. Eric Armstead, his contract was guaranteed for injury on that fifth-year option, so they have him under contract if they want him. They could cut him and just not pay him, or I think more likely they would be able to trade. I think they get something for Eric Armstead. He's too good of a player, and even though he's got a nice little price tag for one more year, they should be able to trade him, and maybe the team they traded him to would be able to restructure his contract and give him a long-term deal and lower his cap value for 2019. So yeah, I mean, and I think they got to try to trade Armstead anyway because they still have a glut of players. You got Julian Taylor and Kentavious Streets coming back next year, a couple of young players. I think Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead should be playing the same position. They should be playing big end and then kicking inside on passing downs. And that's what they should both be doing, ideally. But Armstead's got to lock down because he played better last year. And then maybe you could fit in Quinnen Williams at that point if you did trade Eric Armstead. And unfortunately, you just can't really trade Solomon Thomas right now. I guess you technically could, but I just don't think the 49ers would want to take that cap hit because as a number three overall pick, he's got a big cap number. And it's one of those things where the first few years of a really high draft pick like that, it's really difficult to trade him because of the cap hit you would take. And it's not until around year four when it starts to make sense, or at least after year three, that it starts to make sense where you could trade a guy like Solomon Thomas. So maybe this time next year, Thomas would be someone that the 49ers might try to move. Let's go to an email from Andrew. He says, just wondering what you thought about throwing T-Sizzle a cheeky one-year contract. At 36 years old, he's a free agent, still wants to play, and would come cheap. Best case scenario is he could squeeze another 7 to 10 sacks from the edge for us. Worst case scenario, we have a future Hall of Fame edge rusher to teach whoever we draft the tricks of the trade on a team-friendly deal. Andrew, I don't know. I mean, these veteran NFL guys, is he going to come play for next to nothing? I don't know about that. Maybe if just nobody wants to throw any money at him. He's obviously declining last year. He started every game. I think maybe had six sacks or something like that. He's just not the impact guy that I would want to throw money at or even just bring in and take up roster space, because there's really not that much roster space on the 49ers right now, and I would want to fill those holes with more impact players that are going to be helping the 49ers out when they're chasing a Lombardi, you know, deeper into the future than 2019 and trying to get a few sacks out of an older player. And when you talk about him helping a younger player, he might be hurting that player because he's taking snaps away from him too. So you can look at it that way. My easy answer there is no. By the way, T-Sizzle is Terrell Suggs, for those of you wondering what Andrew was talking about. And by cheeky, and I think I know what side of the world Andrew is emailing from with the word cheeky, which is another word for, I guess, kind of sneaky. Just give him a fun little one-year contract. I know there was one emailer from overseas talking about having a cheeky pint, so I had to get an education on what cheeky meant. And yeah, I like the occasional cheeky pint. But no cheeky one-year contract for T-Sizzle for me. Again, I'm greedy. I want the next T-Sizzle. I want the next Terrell Suggs rookie version, 21, 22-year-old version that's with the 49ers for 10 years, wreaking havoc off the edge. Not a guy that you're hoping can limp through one more season and get to the quarterback a couple more times. That's just me. To Jason on Twitter, did the Rams win now, go for broke strategy this season, add more pressure to Lynch and Shanahan to make some big moves and try to win it all in 2019? I think it did. I think it puts the heat on them. The team in your division going to the Super Bowl and them going after some high-impact players, or at least big-name players. Some of them made an impact. Some of them maybe less so than what they were paid or what they were billed as. But making an impact and getting them over the hump, I think the 49ers already were going to feel the pressure and feel motivated to do some things in 2019. And yeah, I think the Rams going to the Super Bowl probably helps that. Let's finish it off with Thorne Trill on Twitter. If I'm not mistaken, in a year or two, you got to pay Matt Breida. You give him McKinnon money. Also, where in the world is Locked On SF Giants podcast? That's, oh man, if I had the time, man, I would love to do the Locked On SF Giants podcast. But right now, with life as crazy as it is, I just cannot fit in another podcast, especially daily. But as far as Breida goes, I don't know. That's so far down the road. He's dealing with injuries right now, just on the path that he's on. I don't think he would earn McKinnon money. I didn't think McKinnon was going to earn McKinnon money, though. So who knows? So I think this thing just has to play out. And with running backs, shelf life sometimes is so short. We'll see how this looks. We'll see who fills what role. See if McKinnon earns his paycheck and ends up being that number one guy and a big-time playmaker out of the backfield as a runner and a receiver. And then we'll see if Breida sort of slots in as that backup player. And then in that case, no, he would make a lot less money. But maybe McKinnon never comes back and Breida ends up staying healthy and he proves he's a true number one running back. And in that case, yeah, he probably would make a lot of money. But a couple years down the road for a running back contract is something that's like not even on the horizon for me. And I don't think the 49ers need to worry about what they're paying Matt Breida, and they don't really have to worry about McKinnon's contract or any of these other contracts right now just because they have so much cap space. But at some point, if they're drafting some stars and you got to re-up DeForest Buckner, probably give him a lot of money, then, you know, the cap is going to start to get tight. It's not an endless cap that the 49ers have to play with. So they still have to make somewhat smart decisions with contracts going forward. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks, everybody, for being involved with the mailbag. Thanks to everybody who sent in questions that I did not get to. I still have a bunch that I'm going to hit later on in coming days and maybe even next week. And also with Nick on Thursday, we're going to definitely dip into the mailbag on that winky Thursday. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Jeff Deeney of Pro Football Focus will be joining me right here on Locked On 49ers.